This is the Tantalk Radio Network. Time now for the nationally syndicated radio show, The World of Lori Zook. And now, here she is, the smart, the sexy, the savvy, Divine Miss C.
And welcome to the show. I love to do the show, and thank you for joining me today. People often come to me for help on a number of different topics. Now, I'm a credit consultant. I help people who have bad credit resolve their issues legitimately. But a lot of times people ask me questions about topics I don't know. So if they ask me legal questions, I send them to a lawyer. But a lot of times people ask me questions about accounting and taxes, and I'm not an accountant. I'm not a tax accountant. So I have with me Lisa Natividad. I want to welcome you to the show, Lisa.
Hi, great to be here. Thanks for talking to me.
Oh, no, you're welcome. Thank you for being on the show. You're so good at what you do. You are my accountant, and I think you are amazing, and I wanted to have you on the show because I know that you can answer a lot of questions that people think and maybe they don't think to actually ask their accountant. One of the things I want to explain is, or have you explain, is why should people use an accountant rather than try to do it yourself?
That's a great question, because, you know, doing your taxes, you can do it yourself, you know, if it's fairly easy. However, you know, with life changes, there come tax law changes, and the average person may or may not know certain tax benefits that they may get, you know, when you purchase a home, when you have a new child, or when you get married, and so on and so forth. Most importantly, when you have a business, that's a totally different realm, and there are very strict rules that go along with it. So, you know, you want to make sure that you're in compliance and you play by the rules, and you never know. You may benefit from, you know, certain tax laws that you're unaware of, basically.
Right. And I know you've done that for me business-wise. Do you find that people sometimes think that certain things they can take a tax deduction on, but they can't?
Yeah, I mean, that's where I come in, where the rules are unclear. You know, sometimes people look online, maybe they'll Google and ask, you know, hey, what could I do? Is this deductible? But not realizing that what they're looking at online may be old tax law that has changed since then. So, going back to what you were saying, there are certain things that are deductible, not deductible, and the average person may not be aware of, which is where a professional can definitely help.
Right.
You know, guide you.
Yeah, and you just brought up a good point, because a lot of people, when they do research, they use Google. They go online and they Google. And sadly, though, what they're not considering is what is the source that they're Googling from. So a lot of times, you know, I find when I'm looking up a topic, I'm saying to myself, because I'm thinking about it, what is the source? If I don't know what the source is, it's like medical. People Google for medical. I don't know if you've done it. I've done it. I'll Google my symptoms and I'll go, okay. Now, I know, for example, like WebMD is fairly reputable, but in reality, I'm going to end up going to the doctor because I really want the expert opinion. So I think
Absolutely. That's
a big difference even with an accountant, because you might not be saving yourself any money, yet people are sometimes afraid to spend the money on the accountant when, in actuality, spending the money on that accountant might be the best money they ever spent because they end up saving a lot more money,
yeah.
Correct?
I always have a saying, and it's called penny smart, pound foolish. A lot of times people try to save money by thinking they could do it themselves, or, you know, they could find something, you know, someone who's a student or someone, you know, really, really cheap who's probably not even an accountant, just to save a few dollars now. And then, you know, years later, they messed up royally And now it's time to fix it because either the state taxing agency or the IRS is after them because things have been done incorrectly. And when you do things incorrectly, sometimes they charge penalties for, you know, failure to do it properly the first time, in addition to, you know, the increase in tax. So, you know, I get those clients where I have to correct the mess that they made, and now it's costing them hundreds, maybe tens, maybe thousands more than what they anticipated to pay overall in the beginning. So
right. Well, let me ask you, you know, as an accountant, what kind of training does an accountant get? Because, you know, over the years, I'll tell you, I had a friend that worked for H&R Block. I don't know a lot about H&R Block, but I know my friend is not an accountant. He has no accountant training. I don't know who they take on to do that other than they're trying, you know, they run these big ads, they spend lots of money and how they're going to save money. But the truth is they're not really trained. So what differentiates, you know, you as an accountant or an accountant in general from some of these people? Because listen, you see people on Craigslist saying, oh, I'll do your taxes. And I'm thinking, well, who are you?
Right. Oh yeah. I mean, that brings up a bunch of different, issues. You know, one thing is H&R Block or similar, like Jackson Hewitt, Liberty Tax, they get weeks of courses. They have to do a course that's probably done over the maybe several weeks, I'm not sure, versus someone who has to have, you know, a bachelor's degree, you know, from a university or college. And on top of that, there are concerns when you're saying, you know, who are you? Someone can say, I could do your taxes, but I mean, you should know as a credit specialist, like you're handing over, you know, personal confidential information. You don't know what they're going to do with that information after you leave. So, you know, you're handing over your social security numbers, your children's social security numbers. The preparer may even know your maiden last name. So right there, you can open up, I'm giving out ideas. Stop.
Well, yeah, no, that's right. You could say you're opening up a can of worms, but it's true. And, you know, I'm going to relate back to something else because years ago I did a segment with the CBS affiliate WTSP down here on how accessible is your Facebook. So I had a friend who was a computer expert. And we did a show on this because when I looked at his Facebook page, it listed, you know, his full name. He listed his date of birth. He had all his kids' names, the city and town in which he was born and where he lived. And what people don't realize is, you know, you can lock your Facebook page down to private, but unless you personally know every single person, you don't know what they're going to do with that. So you're opening yourself up to identity theft in those cases. And I'm sure there are a lot of horror stories that you could share. I know I could, you know, in situations like that.
Sometimes you'll hear it on the news too, you know, about, you know, certain tax preparation, you know, quick shops that have to shut down because, you know, they've traced it to fraud.
Right. And that's a big difference. Now, one of the things I want to talk to you about also is talk about electronically filing your taxes, because there's another issue where it you know, you hear these stories. I get them too from clients who will say, oh my God, I never got my tax check. Somebody else got it. And it can take months or probably I've heard some cases of longer than a year to get their tax refund. So is filing your taxes electronically good or bad? And how can you make it safer?
Filing your taxes electronically, I'm going to say, is good for a few reasons. mainly because you can track the status of your tax return online. You can track when you're going to receive that refund, and you can receive your refund, you know, several weeks earlier than you would a paper check. However, when you do something like this, as with anything, particularly with taxes or business or anything financial, you have to be diligent.
You have to actually track it.
Make sure you have the correct spelling of your name.
Right.
Make sure you have your correct social security numbers. You know, have a backup plan in case something were to happen, I've had recently a situation where a taxpayer, a new client, I sent in their information, their taxes, everything was done electronically down to the extension and then the filing, and then all of a sudden they get a notice that says, you know, from the IRS, you owe $1,600. Well, what is this? Upon further research, the notice was basically saying, you know, you have a failure to file penalty. We received the amount of tax, and yes, thank you, you pay the correct amount of tax. However, you failed to file this, and what does that mean? Failure to file could mean they didn't receive the extension.
Okay.
Well, because we filed everything electronically, and I saved all the confirmation numbers, I was able to go back to the IRS and say, hey, listen, you messed up. Please correct your records. Here is proof of the filing, the acceptance, because when you e-file, you can get accepted or rejected. Here is proof of the canceled check. And, you know, since then, it's been corrected. So, yeah, there are issues, but as long as you remain diligent, it's something that can work to your benefit.
Okay. Now, I want to go to a short commercial break because I have some more questions for you. So please stay with me. We'll be right back.
Do you suffer from back, neck, or body pain? Do you suffer from migraines or have jaw or face pain? Has conventional medicine failed you? Were you injured or in an accident? Call chiropractic physician Dr. Dan Maddock at 813-935-1664. Dr. Dan has helped thousands of patients gain relief for more than 30 years. Dr. Dan is caring, gentle, and takes his time with each patient. He's also a past president of the International Craniopathic Society, a special certification of only 300 chiropractors worldwide. Dr. Dan helps patients from the neck up and the neck down. Dr. Dan accepts most insurance plans. Don't continue to live in pain. Call 813-935-1664 today. That's 813-935-1664 and get on track to better health.
Are you looking for an affordable way to advertise to thousands of consumers nationally? If you own a business and didn't think you could afford radio advertising, you need to call me, Lori Zook, host of the nationally syndicated radio show, The World of Lori Zook. My show reaches thousands of people on 29 AM and FM stations nationwide, as well as through the internet. Additionally, your commercials will also be heard on all of my podcasts and throughout social media sites. Don't wait another minute. Call me at 813-777-4908. 813-777-4908, and let me bring your message to the nation and to help you gain more exposure. Hi, this is Lori Zook, radio host from the World of Lori Zook. I was so nervous about getting tattooed, but after doing my due diligence and checking out companies and artists, I had my tattoos done by Justin Dubow of Suncoast Tattoos. He is knowledgeable and artistic, and he gave me a beautiful tattoo, and he put me at ease before, during, and after the process. I just love my new tattoo. Go get your tattoo at Suncoast Tattoos. Call them at 727-575-7935 today. That's 727-575-7935. Or go to suncoasttattoos.net. Welcome back to my world, the world of Lori Zook. My guest today is Lisa Natividad. We're talking about taxes and accounting. Now, you were in our last segment, we were talking a little bit about, you know, the IRS. How often does the IRS make mistakes? And are you more likely, I'm assuming you're more likely to catch them when the IRS makes a mistake than, you know, than just the regular person who's having their taxes done. But is it a frequent occurrence? Do people need to actually check?
Well, you have to understand, I mean, how many people are there in the world, and a good chunk of them are going to be filing taxes, whether it's, you know, parents, and then sometimes, you know, their children have to file taxes. So, of course, there's going to be some room for error. A lot of times, it could be computer glitches, as I discussed earlier, you know, through electronic filing, something, or it could be something lost in the mail with a paper filing, or sometimes something can get misread or something was not reported to them properly. And that's where you have an opportunity to correct the record so that it could reflect yours and properly, you know, give you the proper refund or the correct the tax liability owed. But does it happen? Yeah, it happens. How often? It all depends. You know, I really, it's hard to say.
Okay. But, yeah. Should people, you know, people fear the IRS. Should people fear the IRS and audits?
No, not necessarily. I mean, if you have something to hide, if you're preparing a tax return fraudulently, then yeah, maybe you should be scared because, you know, the consequences for that is criminal. But most of the time, you know, you get nervous because you may go in the mail and you see an envelope from the IRS and it could be a tax notice saying you owe much more than you anticipated, or it could say that you're getting examined or an audit. An audit, if you have nothing to hide, the average person may still feel weary about because they think about how much is this going to cost them, you know, to have somebody handle it. Some people may want to handle the audit themselves, again, to save some money, and some people will just say, listen, I need someone else to take care of this for me. I don't want to be bothered. It's just nerve-wracking to me. So,
I'd be one of those. I'd be nervous. I'd be nervous because you're like, oh my gosh, the IRS is looking at my stuff now. You know, I keep good. I try to keep the best records that I can. Am I the greatest? Mm-hmm. No, but I keep all my receipts. You know, I keep everything in my computer in a file. So when you say, hey, Laura, you know, here's the form and fill everything out, and you know, I've already started. You'll be proud of me. I'm printing up all of my bank statements. Mm-hmm. You know, so now all I have to do is print up the most recent one. So I'm ready. But how important is keeping good records? Because, you know, you see the people with the shoeboxes when they do it on TV with all the receipts, mm-hmm. and then how much time they have to spend to do it. So I would think it's pretty important to keep good receipts, because if you're the accountant, would you go to the IRS with me if I was audited?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Because my name is on the tax return as well. So I'm liable also for whatever's reported on that tax return. What people don't realize, though, is that the IRS sees everything. They can see your deposits and your bank accounts, whether it's your business or your personal. They can see, they know when things are reported to them. So, for example, if you don't file your tax return, the IRS basically files it for you based on the information that they receive from outside sources, whether someone gave you a 1099, whether someone gave you a W-2, from wages that you earned from them during the year. However, getting back to the more important issue at hand, it is very important to keep excellent records, because if in the event that you're questioned, you have records to produce it. Also, going on the business side of it, people don't realize that businesses have to be in compliance. And generally speaking, businesses are supposed to keep adequate books and records. What does that mean? That means at any given moment, if someone were to ask you, I need to see your cash disbursements, that means all of your check register, basically, your cash receipts, basically a register of your deposits. And if you don't have that, that's okay, because it's basically listed on your bank statements as deposits. You have to be in compliance. You have to make sure that your business accounts only reflect your business income and expenses. You should not commingle your funds. Don't pay your mortgage or your rent payment from your business account. You know, if you want to get your nails done, don't use your business debit card. Your business account is not your personal checking account,
right?
Which a lot of people, particularly small business, well, I'm not going to limit to that. There are big clients that do that as well.
A lot of people think
that it's okay, but it's really not okay. A big thing is, in this world, you'll see a lot of LLCs. What does that mean? It means limited liability company. What that does is it protects you, you know, against outsiders. Like if they want to sue you, it's only going to be limited to your business. So you have limited, you have protection to the extent of your business assets, meaning they can't go after your home, your car, or other personal assets. If you own a yacht, whatever, they're not going to go after that. However, once you start commingling your funds, like writing, you know, your mortgage payment or, you know, paying for your child's tuition out of your business account, there's something that's called piercing the corporate veil, meaning now that limited liability protection, which is what you started that LLC for, is now broken because you've commingled the funds. So, again, you have to be diligent on keeping business income and expenses separate from your personal expenses. So have a business account, have a personal account.
Gotcha. And I have one more question for you, which is what happens to people who don't pay taxes, who don't file taxes? You know, does the IRS figure out who they are?
Yes, actually, they do know if you haven't filed or if you haven't paid. Sometimes you'll receive a notice from the IRS, and sometimes you may not because you might have moved and they don't have that current information. The best thing to do is to request a transcript and see where you leave off with the IRS and make sure that your records are current so that you can, you know, be in compliance and have everything paid up to date with them.
Okay, good answer. All right, well, I want to thank you very much, Lisa, and I'm going to have you back on the show again in a future time because taxes is always something people ask about. How can people get a hold of you if they have a question?
You can call me at 973-394-1777, or you can reach me through our website at www.ALNFinancialServices. That's Apple Larry Nancy. FinancialServices.com.
Very good. All right, Lisa, thanks again for joining me. It was a very informative show.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. And stay with us. We'll be back after this commercial break. Hi, this is Lori Zook, radio host from the world of Lori Zook. I was so nervous about getting tattooed, but after doing my due diligence and checking out companies and artists, I had my tattoos done by Justin Dubow of Suncoast Tattoos. He is knowledgeable and artistic, and he gave me a beautiful tattoo, and he put me at ease before, during, and after the process. I just love my new tattoo. Go get your tattoo at Suncoast Tattoos. Call them at 727-575-7935 today. That's 727-575-7935. Or go to suncoasttattoos.net.
Do you suffer from back, neck, or body pain? Do you suffer from migraines or have jaw or face pain? Has conventional medicine failed you? Were you injured or in an accident? Call chiropractic physician Dr. Dan Maddock at 813-935-1664. Dr. Dan has helped thousands of patients gain relief for more than 30 years. Dr. Dan is caring, gentle, and takes his time with each patient. He's also a past president of the International Craniopathic Society, a special certification of only 300 chiropractors worldwide. Dr. Dan helps patients from the neck up and the neck down. Dr. Dan accepts most insurance plans. Don't continue to live in pain. Call 813-935-1664. 1664 today. That's 813-935-1664 and get on track to better health.
Are you looking for an affordable way to advertise to thousands of consumers nationally? If you own a business and didn't think you could afford radio advertising, you need to call me, Lori Zook, host of the nationally syndicated radio show, The World of Lori Zook. My show reaches thousands of people on 29 AM and FM stations nationwide, as well as through the internet. Additionally, your commercials will also be heard on all of my podcasts and throughout social media sites. Don't wait another minute. Call me at 813-777-4908. 813-777-4908, and let me bring your message to the nation and to help you gain more exposure. Welcome back to the show. I'm so happy that you've tuned in today. I've got a special guest. Her name is Michelle Allen, and she is the owner of the Monkey's House, a dog hospice and sanctuary. Now, if you've listened to my show before, you know I'm a big animal lover. I'm an animal advocate. You know, I just love animals, and especially dogs. And so, Michelle, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you, Lori.
Talk a little bit, Michelle, about Monkey's House, which is the dog hospice and sanctuary. How and when did you start it?
Well, I've been end-of-life foster for several years now. And when you take a dog from a shelter, for the most part, for hospice care, it's kind of a huge financial drain on these shelters. They kind of like to be done with you. If you ask for help, they'll support you where they can. But for the most part, there's an expense to it. And I'm not really good with boundaries. I don't give a multivitamin to one dog and not to another just because it's a foster dog. So we're spending a lot of money on dogs.
Right.
And really kind of going broke at it. It's one thing to have a dog that in the last year or two of its life, it costs you $10,000 a year. It's another thing when you're collecting those dogs.
Okay.
Also, in doing it that way, I really could only help one or two dogs at a time, and you don't know when they're going to pass, and you do want them to do well and enjoy life before they pass. So we've been trying to figure ways to address this and to address the needs, and we were walking out in the field one night, and I had been feeding raw and home-cooked food for a little while, and I realized the dogs were doing really well and feeling really well, and my vet bills weren't so bad. And I kind of wondered if I was on to something, you know, like a way to get into doing this on a larger basis without having a $4,000 a month vet bill. And that's kind of what I call the beginning of the Morgan method, that's after Judy Morgan, my vet, but kind of also how Monkey's House started. And Monkey was a little stray who fits this model. He was at a no-kill shelter, and they noticed he had a cough, which turned out to be a heart murmur and really bad heart. And we took him home. The vet thought, you know, he might last a month. He was in a lot of distress. His breathing was like 80 breaths a minute. It just was not a comfortable feeling. And I had just lost a dog to heart problems and knew that even Walmart had meds that were $4 a month that could help this dog. I spoke with the shelter vet, and he said, you know, we're not going to intervene. We're going to let nature take this course. And that's kind of called shelter medicine, doing the, you know, looking at the greater good, spending the money on what's going to help the largest amount of dogs rather than one individual one. So, you know, I did what I do. I adopted him and,
right.
and just cut a hole in the checkbook. Took him to the cardiologist, you know, worked a lot with my vet. We got him feeling better. He had horrible dental disease. We took care of that, which helped his heart. And he lived with us for 17 months. And he stole our hearts in a way that I just can't even begin to describe. And when we lost him, we were really grief-stricken, as we are with all the losses. But this one was a little tougher. And I said, the time is now. We're going to channel this and do something good. And Monkey did not really like people, but he loved other dogs. And we thought, we'll honor him with this. And we know he's at the Rainbow Bridge right now, spinning in circles, saying, that's my house, that's my name, those are my people. And I know he's greeting the dogs we send to him. So it's been kind of a healing experience for us, a really positive way to channel our grief. And in doing it like this, we're able to help quite a bit more dogs. It's extremely rewarding.
I can just imagine, because, and I want to go back a little bit, because when you talk about the shelters, one of the things that just disturbs me is that, you know, you see these stories, I see them on Facebook all the time. People have returned a dog to a shelter that they adopted years ago because the dog is too old and the dog needs, you know, medical care. And they, you know, I don't understand that mentality. I mean, you know, my older dog just passed away a few days ago. I don't sit here and say, oh, it's going to cost me a fortune. I've already planned for that, because for me, that animal, it's a lifetime commitment. So when you take in a lot of these dogs, is that what's happening? People are just saying, hey, I can't afford it. I'm going to dump my dog at the shelter. What do they think is going to happen?
Happens all the time. And, you know, sometimes I think we do a real injustice when they post that sad story and then they say pulled by monkey's house, because for every one I pull, 10 in this local vicinity die. And, you know, the resources, the manpower, it's not easy. And I don't understand, except to say that when people do that, when they shut that door on that dog, they're teaching their kids, their grandkids, and their neighbors that that's okay to dispose of the elderly, of our old, of what we think are used up. And actually, old things are kind of our biggest untapped resource. There's a wealth of knowledge in our older Americans. And I have to tell you, the people that have come here to Monkey's House to sit with a dog on their lap or to see what I'm doing or to make sure I'm not a hoarder, they've all left here with an amazing... They all say it's so peaceful, it's so zen, it's so quiet, it's so happy. And while that's my goal, I am personally working on all those things, but I'm not zen or peaceful. You know, it's a goal. But it's the dogs that are kind of working some magic, and it's really an exciting thing for me to be right in the middle of. But it's very sad. And then I think those dogs were not ever truly loved, if that's, you know, if it's okay to get rid of them because they're going slow or because...
Right.
I've got probably 8 dogs that are here because someone moved, and they really weren't adoptable at the shelter because they had a severe heart murmur, they're blind, they had an ulcer or bad skin problems. You know, we tend to take the dogs here that have about four major heart problems, you know, health problems.
Right.
But my vet, she'll laugh at me and she'll say, this one's just blind, she's not appropriate for us.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay, because you're really taking what I would call the really sad sack cases. I mean, these are the dogs that really have a lot of issues. And and where I'm disturbed is when, you know, when you rescue or even if you've purchased a pet, it is a lifetime commitment. It, to me, I, you know, people will argue with me because they have kids. I don't have kids. But if you're going to have children, you better plan, because you know why? That's why we have, when parents divorce and we have single moms raising kids with no money because the father's a deadbeat dad or vice versa. What is wrong with society today that it's just a throwaway life? And that's where I have an issue. And I just, you know, I thank you for what you're doing, because you're taking the hardest cases. Now, let me ask you, do you have a medical background in taking care of these dogs?
Yes, I was a registered nurse. And I've worked in many different aspects of the healthcare field for many years. And I used to say, well, I'll be good with that dog because I'm okay doing this procedure or that procedure. And now I kind of feel that my years of being a nurse are what prepared me to do this. So that I had a dog that threw up an awful lot of blood. And I remember a woman who was dying that way. She had a condition that was going to cause her to die that way. And she said, it looks really bad, but it doesn't hurt. And I'm starting to remember the words that at the time were, you know, important for the moment, but I didn't realize I would hear them again in my life and that they would have so much meaning of what really hurts. Or they'll say, I know I need to eat. I really want to eat. I want to eat because I, you know, I want to eat for my family. I want to eat to live, but I have a bad taste in my mouth and it's okay when I first swallow, but then it gets to burning. And So when I'm feeding a dog and I'm trying all the nutritional things are going to help it, and then I'm giving it moist cat food to see if that will help. It helps me have more patience and a better understanding to them that they really do want to eat. They really do want to live. They just, what happens to their body when they do just is not pleasant. And it helps me to make the harder decisions when I need to make those.
Now,
so my nursing career was a great prep for my next. For my non-paying career.
Right, right. Now let me ask you, Michelle, do you do this by yourself? Does your husband help you? Do you have volunteers that help you? Because it sounds like you do a lot of this yourself.
I do a lot of this myself, but I've got a great support group behind me. We're a very new organization. I was just a crazy dog lady for quite a while, and taking a lot of multi-dog household classes, and because this is a sanctuary and it's run out of our home, I'm the kennel manager 24/7. We have two volunteers that have joined us, and they both come. One comes for about a half a day on Fridays, and one comes at least one day a week. But if she knows there's a lot going on, she finds a way to get here and help out. We're getting ready to having a volunteer work weekend. We're going to do some work around here to make it more comfortable for the dogs. So as time moves on, things are moving on. Also, because I am with the dogs, I have limited computer skills. And this is all about getting the word out, applying for grants, explaining to people what we're doing. Even writing an ad to put on Facebook saying we're having a fundraiser is beyond my skill. So there's an awful lot of people behind the scenes. If anything you see out there looks well written or well done, they might have gotten the words from me, but it was not done by me.
I gotcha. Well,
then we have an amazing vet who is extremely passionate about this, and she's always looking for fundraisers, ways to bring money into the rescue. She's also an author. She mentions us on her interviews whenever she can.
And what is her name? You're welcome to give her a shout out.
Oh, thank you. Her name is Dr. Judy Morgan, and she's a holistic vet. And she's, like I said, just a gift to us. And you know, she'll say, okay, well, I'm going to give you this just the standard discount of this percent. And then she'll say, oh, but you know, that was going to be old, or that's going to expire in 2 years, so you can just have that, or that was brown and we really like blue, so you can. So she's been a godsend to us. And she's got great assessment skills. So I can bring her a dog. Actually, a few weeks ago, I drug a dog into her office on a sleeping bag who was in and out of consciousness. And he'd had a really rough life. And I said, I'd like to do more for this dog, but I don't want, not at his expense. And she said, you know, he has had a really rough life. And she said, but his heart's irregular, and I think we can get him back into a regular rhythm with just some pills. Well, that's fine with me. And we absolutely did do that. And he had about 3 weeks of an amazing quality. And he just kept looking at me like, really, you're changing my water? Really, you're going to bring me fresh food? I didn't finish the food I ate. Like, he just was astounded at the most minimal kindness. It was extremely rewarding to help him with this. It was also hard to lose him. We kind of lost him suddenly, and that sounds funny because, like I said, he was kind of fond of the unconscious state. But he suddenly got really weak and was whimpering, and I don't want him to have pain. So we did send him to the Rainbow Bridge. We had vets come out here and take care of that for us, which is also really important. The dogs, we haven't had these dogs for 15 years. They know us, they love us, and they trust us, but I don't want to send them to a big hospital. I don't want them to pass in a metal cage. I want them to pass in my arms. I want them to know they have someone that has been with them through thick and thin in the end, and that there is still good left in the world, so that when they get to the next world, they can say there was still good left in the world. I think that's, you know, that's how I hope to pass someday.
Now, let me ask you, the dogs, how many dogs do you have at a given time, usually?
It depends on their temperament, their acuity, their personalities. Right now, we have 18 dogs. 5 are my own. They're special needs as well, but I love them very much. And then the other 13 are Monkey's House dogs that were pulled for end-of-life care, and they're doing fantastic. They're very, very loved.
All right. Well, I don't want you to go anywhere. We're going to take a quick commercial break, so please, Michelle, stay with me.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Hi, this is Lori Zook, radio host from the world of Lori Zook. I was so nervous about getting tattooed, but after doing my due diligence and checking out companies and artists, I had my tattoos done by Justin Dubow of Suncoast Tattoos. He is knowledgeable and artistic, and he gave me a beautiful tattoo, and he put me at ease before, during, and after the process. I just love my new tattoo. Go get your tattoo at Suncoast Tattoos. Call them at 727-575-7935 today. That's 727-575-7935. Or go to suncoasttattoos.net. Are you looking for an affordable way to advertise to thousands of consumers nationally? If you own a business and didn't think you could afford radio advertising, you need to call me, Lori Zook, host of the nationally syndicated radio show, The World of Lori Zook. My show reaches thousands of people on 29 AM and FM stations nationwide, as well as through the internet. Additionally, your commercials will also be heard on all of my podcasts and throughout social media sites. Don't wait another minute. Call me at 813-777-4908. 813-777-4908, and let me bring your message to the nation and to help you gain more exposure.
Do you suffer from back, neck, or body pain? Do you suffer from migraines or have jaw or face pain? Has conventional medicine failed you? Were you injured or in an accident? Call chiropractic physician Dr. Dan Maddock at 813-935-1664. Dr. Dan has helped thousands of patients gain relief for more than 30 years. Dr. Dan is caring, gentle, and takes his time with each patient. He's also a past president of the International Craniopathic Society, a special certification of only 300 chiropractors worldwide. Dr. Dan helps patients from the neck up and the neck down. Dr. Dan accepts most insurance plans. Don't continue to live in pain. Call 813-935-1664. Today. That's 813-935-1664, and get on track to better health.
Welcome back to the show. I've been speaking with Michelle Allen. She's the owner of Monkey's House, a dog hospice and sanctuary. And Jeff Collins in the studio has a question for you, Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. It's good to hear that people like you and many others, they give their heart out. And it's something that many people just can't deal with because in most cases, you're getting what other people don't want. You're getting the throwaways, the castaways, the poor animals that at one time thought they belonged to something, and then they found out that they're no longer loved and no longer belong. But when they come to your house, I know that they feel better. Being a rehabber myself and have done it for many, many years, do you find that it is a 24-hour job and a seven-day-a-week job?
It's, I think, a 30-hour-a-day job and a 10-day-a-week job. But it's the rewards are amazing. I mean, I do have to jump up in the middle of the night. I do, you know, I don't wake up if the TV comes on loud, but I do wake up if someone's vomiting. I do wake up to unpleasant smells. I said that I get spontaneous Tourette's when I sit in urine that isn't mine.
So yeah.
It's not that I can clock out and be done. It is 24/7. But even right now, while we're doing this interview, I have one dog under my arm and two sitting on my lap, so I'm multitasking. Yeah. And it is the best job ever. I sometimes can't believe that I thought this up because it's a great reminder to live in the moment and to mm-hmm. you know, if somebody who doesn't usually react in a happy way to being touched, if they suddenly turn their head and want me to continue rubbing in their ear, that's pretty big. And you know, in day-to-day life, sometimes pretty big is hitting a good sale. And the joys from teaching an animal to enjoy pleasures that they've never had before is way better than hitting a good sale or, you know, getting the garage cleaned.
Especially when you get an animal that is one of those shell shock animals that you go near it and it goes away from you or it shies away. And then when you see little by little, it trusts you more and more and more. And then finally, when you get to touch it and it realizes that it's okay. And they do realize it. A lot of people, you know, you get a lot of people around here, they go, oh, it's just a dog. It's just a... No, it has feelings. It understands. And it communicates in a way that we don't understand. It's mostly through its eyes and through energy. And they can let you know that they're happy or they're sad or they want something. And if you just pay attention.
Right. And they also, the thing I've noticed is they have distinct personalities. And in having many dogs myself, they're just like people. They're mm-hmm. they're individuals and they all have different personalities. And, you know, we're going back. I mean, as you know, Chanel, my older Great Dane, Chanel, I had to put to sleep. I don't want to cry, but I had to put to sleep Friday. She was in very bad shape. And in her eyes,
you can tell.
She told me that that's what I had to do, even mm-hmm. though it made me physically ill. So, you're dealing with you have the sadness, but at the same time, I guess you have the joy because you are the final caretaker mm-hmm. for these dogs. And so that's got to give you some joy or you wouldn't do it. But how do you deal with the sadness? Is it really sad for you or do you become desensitized or used to it? Or I'm assuming that, you know, I don't even know what I'm assuming. I just know it's got
to
be hard.
I have to tell you, as a nurse, I made a decision a long time ago that I don't ever want to become desensitized or hardened to things. I think I'm a human being with human feelings, and I want to feel everything. So I recently actually wrote on our Facebook page the other day, when the word hospice is the name of your rescue, we don't have happy endings, but we have amazing middles. And one of my most favorite poems is The Dash, and it talks about, you know, we have the year we're born, the dash, and then the year we pass. But the dash is actually what's so important, what we did, who loved us, what was important, what did we think was beautiful. And I get to jump in with these dogs and work on that dash. And knowing that in the end it's going to be really hard, but the dash is what I'm going for. And I try. I was a nurse in the middle to late 80s when we were still talking, hospice was present, but they were still talking about death not being a good outcome. But people were dying. So I, in my head, tried to make it an acceptable outcome. So if someone was dying, and I said, well, you know, we can't stop this, but what would you like? If they wanted their Frank Sinatra music or their red blanket from home, when they passed, it was still sad. But I said, you know, yes, they had that red blanket, or yes, at least they got to see their uncle who came in from Kentucky. Like, I could take something good out of it. I could give them a little bit of control in a situation that they had no control over. And that's what I'm doing with these dogs. I like to know what their favorite thing is, what their favorite treat is. Unlike a normal rescue, I want them to know where the treats are, the treat door. I want them to work people over. I want them to just enjoy all of the good things. Now, I'm not saying that we're giving unhealthy things to dogs and kidney failure, but I want to bend the rules a little bit for them, and I want to do all the living I can with them while they're here. When it happens, I am extremely sad. I do try to focus on the fact that I met my goal for that dog and that it's okay. Forgiving Tuesday, though, we did a thing about the dogs that we have lost this year. And one at a time, I'm okay with it, but looking at their pictures and having to write a quick blurb about each one of them, that was actually a little too much for me to handle. And I think next year I'll ask a volunteer or two to handle, you know, putting them all together on one page. But one at a time, that's my job, and that's the price that I pay for all of the good in the middle of that dash.
Right.
I'm willing to do it.
Yep, that's a great poem. If you've never read The Dash, Google it, because it's tremendous. But I want to thank you so much for joining me today. I'll have you back again on a future show. Michelle, can you give out your contact information in case somebody wants to volunteer or donate or contact you?
Oh, sure. Thank you. Yes, our website is monkeyshouse.org, and I'm Michelle at monkeyshouse.org, M-I-C-H-E-L-E, and there's no apostrophe in that. And we have a Facebook page, Monkey's House, a dog hospice and sanctuary. Lori, thank you so much for this great opportunity to let me get the word out about what we're doing here, and I hope others will join me in this craziness. It's an amazing opportunity.
Thank you so much, Michelle. And we will see you again next week. You'll hear us again, same channel, same time. Thanks for joining me on The World of Lori Zook.
At the Oaks of Clearwater, you'll enjoy a lifestyle to fit your needs. From independent living, assisted living, memory care, and skilled nursing. Our exciting independent lifestyle is the perfect combination of freedom, comfort, and security. Enjoy total independence with peace of mind. Our independent lifestyle includes chef-prepared meals in our beautiful waterfront dining room, a continental breakfast, all utilities, including cable and telephone, housekeeping with linen service, scheduled transportation, including trips for shopping, local restaurants, theater, and more. Our activities program is second to none. At the Oaks of Clearwater, you'll enjoy affordable luxury waterfront senior living with a $1 million view. Call today, 727-445-4069, and discover where caring, compassionate service really makes the difference.
5,000 years of Chinese music and dance in one night, declares the New York Times. Shenyun Performing Arts will take you on an extraordinary journey from ancient dynasties to the modern day. Experience the wonder of authentic Chinese culture. Experience Shenyun. Coming to the Mahaffey Theater, January 12th and 13th.
tickets at Shenyun.com or call 888-974-3698.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time, sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why don't you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars old and new, Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
Hi, this is Paul Molloy, host of Freedom Works, The Paul Molloy Show. Heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Please join us and our guests as we focus a libertarian spotlight on what's happening in our politics and culture. If you thought our Constitution and the Declaration of Independence really did stand for individual freedom, then you'll be coming to the right place. Again, that's Freedom Works, The Paul Molloy Show, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arg, matey. When it's time for lunch, when it's time for dinner, when the show's over, when the day's over, when it's time to chill, where do we go? Over to Naughty Nancy's Food Shack and Crow's Nest Pub. It's literally in our backyard, right in back of the WTAN studios at 700 Eldridge Street, just north of downtown Clearwater. Just look for the broadcast tower. Nancy's food and atmosphere get rave reviews. The laid-back patio is a great place to hang out, dine, and listen to live music at night. And Nancy's one of the friendliest proprietors in town. And now, Nancy is serving Sunday Jazz Brunch from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Brunch served with Eggs Benedict, crepes, waffles, lox and bagels, shrimp, oysters, and a build-your-own omelet. That's all at Naughty Nancy's Food Shack and Crow's Nest Pub, 700 Eldridge Street in Clearwater. That's right where Eldridge crosses the Pinellas Trail between Myrtle and Fort Harrison. Call 446-3717. 446-3717. You're listening to the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Did you know there's a sprawling botanical paradise right in your own backyard? Come visit Sunken Gardens. Located at 1825 4th Street North, it's St. Petersburg's oldest living museum. This 100-year-old garden is home to some of the oldest tropical plants in the region. Unwind as you stroll through meandering paths, lush with exotic plants from around the world. Explore cascading waterfalls, beautiful demonstration gardens, and more than 50,000 tropical plants and flowers. Sunken Gardens provides garden tours, horticultural programs, special events, field trips, weddings, private or corporate rentals, and much more. Call 727-551-3102 for more information. That's 727-551-3102. Sunken Gardens, 1825 4th Street North, right in the heart of Old Northeast St. Petersburg. Call 727-551-3102.
Hi, this is John Austin, host of the book club on the Tantalk Radio Network. I spent 35 years in publishing, and today I want to tell you about a book that can change people's lives. The book is No Cash, No Problem, and the author is Dave Wagenford with Ali Pervez. Dave Wagenford is one of the greatest barter experts in the world, and he's bartered over $500 million worth of goods and services. If you want to remodel your house, but the cost is just too high, or maybe there's an automobile that you've dreamed of owning but thought you never could afford, this book will tell you how you can do both of those things, plus hundreds more with little or no cash and without going into hock for the rest of your life. Maybe you're a business owner with a cash flow problem that leads to low or non-existent profits. Read this book and see how you can increase your cash flow and your profits by time-proven techniques. The book, again, is No Cash, No Problem, and you can buy it now on Amazon for just $7.98 for the ebook edition. Do yourself a big favor and buy it today.